Let's continue to give him praise, appreciate him, thank him for the opportunity he has given to you to see this day. And he has chosen you to be in his presence. The Bible says, blessed is him whom God chooses and causes to approach unto him, that he might eat of the good of his house. We give you all the glory. Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Put those blessed hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in his presence? Let the Lord hear your hands unto him. Amen. Praise God. It's always a privilege to stand right before his presence and in front of us to minister the word. I want to thank God for our senior pastor. Welcome back, sir. So good to have you back. And I thank God for all of my fellow council members. God has laid it in their heart for me to stand here today as scheduled, and I'm here to share the word. Every time we come before the presence of God, let us always approach his presence with expectations. Because at the end of the day, what God looks at to bless anyone that comes before his presence is, what are your expectations? That's why the Bible says, he will answer to our expectation. And therefore, our expectation shall not be cut off. I know we have expectations today. God will fulfill them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We are going to pray, but before we pray, let us understand that our love for God is of paramount importance to God. Every time you assess God's presence, the first thing he looks at is, does he love me? Now you'll be wondering, does God really delight in our loving him? God would always assess our heart to know whether we love him. And if you truly love him, he will know. And that will form the basis of his response to you. Amen. And so, whatever we receive from God in this kingdom is primarily on the basis of our love for him. And there are so many that are working in the church, but they do not understand what it means to love God or what our love means to God. So that's why we are going to be praying. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for who? Those that love him. So the qualifier, whatsoever you desire from God, what qualifies you to receive it is love. As a matter of fact, if you don't love God, you don't receive anything. So we are going to pray. First prayer. Now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast forsaken your first love. He said, I know thy works, but there is something I have against you. You used to love me very well, but you are forsaking it. And so I have something against you. That will not be you in the mighty name of Jesus. So we are going to rise up tonight to pray. I mean, this hour to pray. Let us stand up on our feet and take this one or two prayer points. Praise God. The first prayer is, Father, open my eyes to see how I may have forsaken my first love for you and your kingdom. And by the blood of Jesus, restore me back to my first love. Please open your mouth, pray. Lord, is there any way I have forsaken my first love? I used to run after you. I used to pant. My heart used to pant after you. Is there any lust of love in my heart? Open my heart today. Restore me back to my first love. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Prayer two. Father, whatsoever you have prepared for me, for he said, eyes have not seen nor ears heard, what God has prepared for those that love him. Whatsoever you have prepared for me that I may have lost or that is being delayed due to the lust of my first love. Father, by your spirit, I recover them all. Open your mouth now, pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That thing that you have prepared for me that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, that I may be losing right now because I have lost my first love. Have mercy and let there be restoration. Thank you, my Father, for restoring our first love. We are grateful to you. We worship you. Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Father, we are grateful to you because we know that we love you. We pray that you help us to do things to prove that we love you. And may we never forsake our first love for you anymore. Help us to seek first and first and first. In every of our endeavor, may we be able to put you first, to prove our love to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, as we go into your word, speak to us in a language that we'll understand. Holy Spirit, take over right now and be glorified, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Please, let's be seated. Put your hands together for Jesus. Oh, I love this God. He's such a wonderful Father. Friday school student, I hope you are here. If you are Friday school here, let me see your hands. Amen. Thank God for every one of you. Please, if you have your Bible, just wave it. You have your Bible, wave it. Amen. 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 Okay. Please, ushers, get the mics and get close to them because they are going to be joining me in this ministration today. They are going to be reading the scriptures. Amen. So once you find it, just lift up your hands and the ushers will come to you, okay? Whenever I request for any scripture to be read. And God will bless you as we do this together. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The last time I stood here by his grace to minister, God started a series with us on unveiling the mysteries of the move of God. And we're able to touch upon the part one of that message. Amen. And today we shall be looking at the part two, but just a refresher. We talked about mysteries, and I did convey to us that scriptures is consisted of mysteries. And what are mysteries? Mysteries are not mystical in nature. They are simply secrets embedded within scriptures. So when we are talking about mysteries, we are not talking about mystics. When we say mysteries, it simply means hidden secrets in scriptures. They are hidden within the pages of scripture. If you like, you can call it the rhema. A lot of people are running with logos. There's nothing wrong with the logos. But except you understand the mysteries behind the logos, you may not be able to sip out the benefit of that scripture. That is why we need to understand the mysteries behind every scripture. And that's what we are talking about today. And when we are talking about the move of God, it's simply the presence of God in the midst of his people for performance. When God shows up in the midst of his people in order to perform something, I'm still talking about what we talked about the last time briefly. That is his move. Now, every time God moves, we were told the last time I stood here to minister, that every of God's moves is ordained to move us forward. Exodus chapter 15. You see there from verse 14 that, and God said to Moses to speak to the people of Israel to move forward. After he has moved in Egypt, he moved them forward by his mighty hand. He moved them forward. And so, after Moses have seen the move of God in Egypt, we were told, it came to a point that Moses asked God, Lord, we have seen your mighty move in Egypt. And I know that every time you move, you are out to move your people forward. You are out to advance them. So, show me your glory, right? And that is in Exodus chapter 33. Amen. Show me your glory. And God said to him, Moses, not just like that. For you to see my glory, there are things that you need to do. You need to understand what would guarantee my move and the revelation of my glory. And finally, in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, we saw that we are predestinated to be glorified. Now, who can read that scripture? Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Please read it. Give her the mic. Yes, please.
Moreover, whom he predestinates, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Praise God. So from that scripture, you see that we are redeemed to be glorified. We are predestinated for glorification. And so when God moved in Egypt, Moses, knowing that every move of God is ordained for glorification, asked God in Exodus. Praise God. Show me your glory. Exodus. Just 1 minute. 33 verse 18. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God told him in Exodus chapter 33, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, can we read that scripture and we move to the part two? Exodus 33, verse 21.
And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock.
Hallelujah. So Moses knew that every move of God is ordained for glorification, went to God and said, show me your glory. And God said to him, Moses, take it easy. For you to see my glory, there is a place by me. And we began to look at what we need to do in order to encounter the move of God. We talked about the place of redemption. You must be born again. The place of faith. You must need to put your faith to work in order for you to see God move in your direction. We also talked about the place of obedience, which is a requirement for taking delivery of what God has ordained for us. We talked about the place of prayers, which is our instrument of commanding what we want in this kingdom. And then we touched upon that place of praise and thanksgiving. And that's where we shall be starting from today, as the Lord will lead us. Amen. Exodus 33, verse 18, we already read it. And Moses said to him, show me thy glory. Now, the place of praise is one vital instrument for securing the move of God. Praise is not just a Christian entertainment. Praise is not what we do just because we feel like doing it. Praise is commanded by God. As a matter of fact, we are created to praise. When you are not in praise, you are not functioning in your purpose. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that ye should show forth the praise of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you are chosen by God as a nation of praise. And if you are not walking in praise to God, if praise is not your lifestyle, you know, when something is not useful for you in your house, you trash them, isn't it? When you are not walking in praise, you are, to a large extent, sitting on the back seat of the visitation of God. Because you have lost functionality. Now, praise is not just for people that can sing. You know, our sister that was singing, that was leading the song today. I thank God for our choir. I used to say they are the best choir in Oman. Amen. Put your hands together for our choir. In those days, we used to watch Hindi movies. And we would stay awake till midnight to watch them. And do you know why I used to like those Hindi movies then? Their music. I wasn't hearing what they were saying, but I just liked the songs. And every time this our sister is singing here, I just remember those Hindi movies. So blessed. But you may not sing like our sister. What God is interested in is just to hear you give him praise. Just sing it the way you want. And you will gain access to his presence. So praise is ordained for us to access God's presence. It is mandatory for us. Now, nothing secures God's promises. You know, this scripture is full of promises. A lot of promises in scripture. And nothing guarantees God's moves in our direction like praise. One single encounter with God through praise can turn a waiting of several years around. And like I said before, praising God is not for fun. It is a kingdom instrument. So when you do it with all thy mind. And as you do it, you will see him move in your direction. Now, what is praise? It is appreciation of God for whom he is. Not just because of what he has done, but you just appreciate him for whom he is. That's praise. Now, it is different from thanksgiving, when you are thanking him for what he has done. When you praise God, you are ascribing glory to him because he is God over your life. Because he is God enough to intervene in that situation. When you praise God, you are telling him, Lord, you are above everything else, no matter the situation. You are above all, no matter the situation, no matter what I am going through, you are God above it. And so it is not something that we must do when we feel like doing it. It is our kingdom obligation to praise God. When you praise God as a lifestyle, he tabernacles with you. Why? Psalms chapter 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. So God dwells in praise. His habitation is praise. The tabernacle of God is praise. And so when you praise God in the beauty of his holiness, he comes and tabernacle with you. He dwells in you, with you, around you. And so, whatsoever cannot deny God access cannot deny you access. Whatsoever cannot stop God can never stop you. If only you understand that as you are praising him as a lifestyle, you carry his presence, you gain access. When you praise God, he shows up with his wonders. Wonders in this kingdom cannot be assessed except you are dwelling in praise. It commands the move of God cheaply. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, the Bible says, who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee amongst thy gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. So when you engage God in praise, God comes down, and when he comes down, he begins to do wonders, fearful things in your life. Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. So you want to see the wonder of God in your direction? Praise him, and you will see him descend with wonders beyond numbers. And if you continue to live a lifestyle of praise, no gates of hell can stop you. Because why? You carry his presence. You naturally enjoy the presence of God. And the presence of God is the most valuable thing any man can ever have. Psalms chapter 24, verse 7 to 10. Can we read that scripture? Psalms 24. Yes, Friday school.
Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong, mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, all you gates, lift up your heads, you everlasting door, so that the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Amen. Thank you so much. Lift up your heads, all ye gates. So if you are dwelling in praise, every gate lift up their heads before you. In other words, there is no hindrance to accessing whatsoever you desire on the platform of praise. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, because I carry the presence of God. And so, what cannot stop God cannot stop you. In Psalm chapter 114, verse 1 to 7, we may not read it. The Bible said, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary. And Israel his dominion. And what is the consequence of this? The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back on account of the presence of Judah. What is Judah? Praise. Praise. The sea saw the tabernacle of praise, the Most High himself, present with the children of Israel, and it fled. It gave up. Because why? Judah was the sanctuary of Israel. They were dwelling in praise. And so Jordan gave up on them. He could not stop them. Some years ago, 2013 precisely, I got offer after they flew me here to Oman to do interview. And for close to a year, I was waiting. They already sent me an offer. I was waiting for them to confirm for me to come. I was waiting on God. I was praying. I love to pray. I prayed and prayed. And one night, as I was praying, God said to me, "My son, you have prayed, but you have still not done the right thing." I said, "Ah, what is it, sir?" He said, "Praise me." I told my wife that night, I said, 3 days, I'm going to praise God. VG of praise. And I began to praise God and dance in our sitting room. I will sing, and I would, the first night I praised and I danced until my legs were hurting. And I went to sleep, went to work the next day. Second day, more rigorous praise. I said, "It's praise you want." I gave God, I danced, I rolled on the floor, I sang. The second day of praise, when I got to my office, I was working then as operations manager. When I got to my office, as I opened my laptop, the first thing I saw was my visa and my confirmation to come. I called my wife. I said, "I did it. Second day of praise. Just second day." And then when I left there, I said, "Even though you have done it in the second day, Father, I must praise you the third day." I still danced and I praised him. And God brought me here gloriously on account of praise. There was a Judah, there was a Red Sea, there was a Jordan that was saying, "You will not come here." But on account of praise, that wall of Jericho gave up. And here I am today. Did I come here? That's why I'm standing here. That's why I'm here. Praise. Now, there is something you have been looking unto God for. You have been looking unto God to move in your life in that particular area. God is saying to you, just like he said to me, "Praise me. Give me praise." And you will see him move in your direction in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every praise giver, and I'm not talking about just singing, no. Singing is good, but singing is not just praise. In those days in my village, when women are having issues with each other, I don't know, maybe they don't do it in India. When they are having quarrel, my grandfather had two wives. When there is some argument between them, the younger wife will come out and she will be sweeping. And she will start singing. The song is against my grandmother. So singing is good, but singing is not praise. You can be singing, but are you praising God? So yes, it is good to sing, but your songs must ascribe praise to God. There are even times in the church when people are singing praise. They are not praising God. They are singing praise. There is one musician that we used to have the plate, the CD in my car. Every time we are playing that music, my wife would say, "Remove it, remove it, remove it. Jogodo, Jogodo." My wife would say, "What kind of music is this?" But there is a song in that album that I liked. Now, this guy is a praise, he's a praise and worship person. He's a musician, Christian musician. But that music, that particular music, was not just touching God. It wasn't moving for us. And so my wife said, remove it. Eventually, suddenly, I saw that the CD was broken. Amen. So not every songs are songs of praise. Let us be mindful as we sing unto God. Now, some key biblical scenarios of the wondrous moves of God through praise. The first one is in Acts chapter 12. Please, let's open it. Verse 5 to 7. Second one is Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Somebody has opened that. Please, as they raise up their hand, give them the mic. And the third one, Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 and 22 to 23. So, first one, Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 7. Are you there, somebody?
Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing for the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands.
Amen. Okay, now, Acts chapter 16, verse 25.
But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them.
Yes, 26.
Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, Amen. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed.
Please look at these two scriptural scenarios very closely. The first one, in Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 7. The Bible said that Peter was in prison, incarcerated, awaiting trial, and maybe firing squad. And the church offered prayers on behalf of Peter. And God sent an angel. The angel came and smote Peter. Right, quickly, make it fast. And let Peter out of the gate very silently. But look at the second scenario. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. The Bible says, and at midnight, just like our Friday school student read, Paul and Silas, they prayed. They did not stop there. They sang praises unto God. And everybody heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaking. And immediately, the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were loosed. Sudden visitation can only happen on account of praise. Now, look at the first one. They prayed. Prayer is good. But God would always send angels in His majesty to come to your liberation. They don't have time. Once they come, action. Get up. If you make mistake yourself, you know, God was telling Israel, He said, I will not go with you this time. I will send my angel to follow you. Moses said, please, sir, let your presence come with us. He said, no, I will send my angels. They are no nonsense people. They are out to deliver the instruction. And so God will send an angel when you pray. But oftentimes, when you praise Him, He shows up in His majestic presence. And when God stepped into that prison, because of His heavy weight, sir, the Bible said there was an earthquake. There was a shaking. Why? Because the presence of the Most High had come down. God stepped into the situation, and immediately their chains fell off. The doors were thrown open. And do you know the beautiful thing? When Peter was delivered, the angel led him out. But when deliverance came to Paul and Silas, even though the prison doors were open, they knew they were in charge. They stood back. They stood back. Nobody can do anything. Why? Because the presence of the Most High was there. When you praise God, be confident. His presence is more majestic than anybody. They knew they were in charge. They were in charge. They knew it. They knew it. On account of praise. Irrespective of their chains. Irrespective of the fact that their legs were put in stocks. They praised God. So praise is unconditional. It doesn't matter what you are going through. What God may be looking for is praise. Just give him praise. And you will see him show up in a wonderful way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Yes, please. Ushers, give the mic. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Quickly.
After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the...
2 Chronicles 20, verse 1.
After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the minorities came to wage war against Jehoshaphat.
Yes, that's it. Okay, go to verse 21 to 22.
After consulting the people of Jehoshaphat, appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing praise, and the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated.
Amen. Thank you, son. God bless you. Three countries, nations. One each stronger than Judah came against Jehoshaphat. They came ready to kill. Amongst other nations, he knew not what to do. But after he consulted with the elders and they prayed, the prophetic came. And the Bible says he appointed singers after God has spoken to them. Go and face them. He appointed singers that they should praise the name of the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Jehoshaphat was face to face with armored cars and all the weapons of war. But praise was his only weapon. He put the singers in front of him. They were singing while those that were carrying arms were standing behind. And they were singing, "Praise God, glory be to his name." And what happened? The Bible says the Lord set ambushment. You know what it means to ambush? You know, just sneaking. Oh my God, you are so wonderful. He smote all of them. No one escaped. Just on account of praise. And if you read that scripture through, when Judah looked right on top of the watchtower, they saw that the enemies were all smiting. None escaped. Sometimes when I read this scripture, I used to think of when it was now left with the only two. The only two. They have killed themselves. Two were remaining. One of them will say, "Okay, why are you looking at me like this?" The other one will say, "Okay, why are you looking at me?" And it resulted in a fight, and they killed themselves. After the last one may have killed the last one standing, we say, maybe he said, "Why am I even living? Why am I even here?" He killed himself. I don't know, but somehow none of them escaped. The Bible said God ambushed them. If you would only praise God in that situation, God would ambush whatever it is that is troubling your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. When you praise God, you're fulfilling purpose. As we round up on this praise, praise is God's natural habitat. When you praise God, you secure His presence. Praise provokes divine intervention. When you don't know what to do, try praise. He will intervene like He did in the case of Jehoshaphat. Praise would always provoke sudden visitation. And suddenly. Now, the place of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is mainly appreciating God for what He has done. Lord, I thank You for all that You have done. I thank You even for who You are. So, thanksgiving and praise used to go together. You thank God in anticipation of what you are expecting Him to do. You thank God for what you know He's going to do. And you thank Him for what He has done. As a matter of fact, thanksgiving and praise is the highest form of the demonstration of faith. Thanksgiving and praise is the highest form of faith. When the condition don't look like it, when things seem not to be going well, but you look up to heaven and you say, Father, I thank You. That is how you prove your faith to God. If you're thanking God is only based on what you see and experience, you have not entered the realm of thanksgiving that God is calling us into. Thanksgiving should be unconditional, no matter what. That is why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. But do you know, before I read that scripture through, that thanksgiving is God's will, covenant will, for the delivery of His promises. You find a promise in scripture, or a pastor has proclaimed a promise over your life. What qualifies you for receipt is thanksgiving. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, I always like to quote this scripture. For ye have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And I've always said, what is that will of God? That is that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything. Do what? In everything, do what? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. That's God's will. Irrespective of the situation you are going through, what God is looking at for you to do is thanks. In other words, sir, thanksgiving is our only route of escape. It doesn't matter. Why do we need to give thanks in all situations? Because some situations may look like it is terrible to you, like gold going through fire. But God has ordained it for your good. You know, when gold is going through fire, you see this hissing noise. The God doesn't find that fire situation palatable. But that fire prepares that God for His continuous shining afterwards. So sometimes God allows us to go through fire, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what God is expecting from you, because all things will always work together for our good, is thanksgiving. So always give God thanks. No matter what the situation may be. Amen. Now, thanksgiving is not optional. You know, as I've said, God is always working out things for our good. It is mandatory and it is a commandment. We are commanded. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, for we are bound to thank God always. We are bound to give God thanks. Second Thessalonians, sorry. We are bound to give thanks to God always. We are bound. We are obligated to thank God. We are prisoners of thanksgiving. God demands it. And if you lose out on that, you miss God. No one that is ungrateful to God will ever receive anything from God. No ungrateful child of God will ever receive anything from God. He said, if you will not take it to heart to give me thanks, in Malachi, he said, I will curse your blessings. I have even cursed them. I will curse your blessing. God is saying himself, said, if you will not give me thanks, if you will not lay it to heart to give me thanks, I will curse your blessings. I have even cursed them. So, any ingrate in the house of God, no matter what, will always be on the receiving side of God's vengeance. That will not be you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What more? The place of joyfulness. But before we go there, thanksgiving is our biblical guarantee for multiplication. Luke chapter 9, verse 16. If you are there, can you read Luke chapter 9? Anybody can pick up that? Okay, please read it. Give them mic.
Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people.
Amen. That was the story of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, feeding 5,000 men. One little lad had these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was a dire situation. The disciples were like, no matter how much we have, we can't buy enough bread to feed these ones. Jesus knew what he would do. He said, thank God for one of the apostles. There is a lad here that have some loaves and fishes. Bring them. And he took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, lifted them up to God and gave thanks. He simply gave thanks. He did not need to pray in tongues. He broke them and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude after making them to sit down. They all ate and they were full. They took delivery of extra 12 loaves of basket and of fish, 12 basket of loaves of bread and fishes on account of thanksgiving. On account of thanksgiving. So, no matter what the situation is, if you are seeing dryness, give God thanks. If you want to see multiplication, give God thanks. Jeremiah 30, verse 19. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And then I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, they shall not be small. You want to see multiplication? Give God thanks, sir. Lift up your hands and say, Father, I thank you. Lift up your hands and say, Father, I thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The place of joyfulness. There are a lot of things to teach on thanksgiving. But I trust God that the message has been communicated. The place of thanksgiving. The place of joyfulness. Joyfulness. Please listen very carefully. When you are genuinely praiseful, you become joyful. And when you are joyful, the end result is praise. So they are interrelated. Everyone that is short of joy, you will never be able to praise God. But joy is a spiritual virtue. It is different from happiness. Happiness is based on what we see physically. You bought a car, a new dress, and promotion, increase in salary. But joy emanates from the spirit. And so when you are short or dry of joy, your spirit loses connection with God. And you don't get the delivery of what God has ordained for you. That is why when the devil wants to steal from people, what he does is he brings things before you physically that will make you look sorrowful. At the verge of every breakthrough, you will always see the enemy showing you things that will make you want to complain and become moody. Why is he doing that? Because he knows without joy, you cannot receive anything from God. James chapter 5 verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Merry heart is the heart of joy that we are talking about. It will naturally bring about praise and gratitude to God. Happiness may be based on the happenings around us, but joy is expected to emanate from us irrespective of the situations we are going through. Please don't allow the enemy to steal your joy. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 to 19. Please, can you read that for us? Habakkuk chapter 3. Our Friday school student, please give him the mic. God bless you. So, Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19. Yes.
Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, through the labor of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills.
Amen. Although the fig tree may not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Business failure, delays, expectations looking like it is cut off, situations that will make you want to complain, piling up. Men may even be mocking you. But what was God saying there? Verse 16. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God will become my strength as I rejoice in him. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet that can never be slipped. And he will cause me to walk my high places. The fig tree is not blossoming. There is no fruit in the fig tree. No job. Business may be looking like halas, nothing to show. You may even be sick in your body. Your expectations may be looking like it's all cut off. But what is God saying? Rejoice. Now, say to yourself, I will rejoice. Say it like you mean it. Say, I will joy in the God of my salvation. That is the condition and the atmosphere you need to create in order for you to walk and to keep walking your high places. That will be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Why? Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy, with joy. When there is no joy in you, when you are full of bitterness, you lack the strength to draw. The waters out of the well of salvation are our scriptural blessings, what God has ordained for us in scripture. Your only access to them is joyfulness. When your joy is not in place, you don't have access to revelation, rhema, or access to the promises of God. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That is why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad. I lift up my voice to give praise to the Lord. This is the day he has made. There may not be food in the house. Maybe you got a letter of termination. We give thanks. We give praise. For we know that all things work together for our good. We give thanks. Oh, we give praise. Our God will see us through. The situation may not look palatable. You may have been on the waiting list of God. And you may have been asking, Lord, when is it going to be my turn? I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. He liveth forevermore. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. He liveth forevermore. That is what God expects of us. As you begin to praise him and to give him thanks, God comes through. You know how you can really give the devil a dirty slap? It's when he thinks that he has cornered you. To a point. Maybe he feels I have cornered him. He knows there's no way out. And you rise up in the morning and say, I give you all the glory. I give you honor. I give you all the glory. I give you honor. Maybe you are still feeling some pains around. Your body is aching. And you are wondering, I have been praying concerning this thing. No healing. I have a God that healeth me. I have a God, my style. He is my healer. Yes, he will send his word and he will heal my disease. I have a God. And what is God saying? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Let's rise up. I am the Lord, my healer. He sent your word, and you heal my disease. I am my 3 minutes, you are going to just praise God with any song that you like. 2-3 minutes. I want you to just open your mouth and begin to sing praise unto him. Just give him praise. Creator of the universe, what can you do? Give him thanks, give him praise. What can you do, Jesus? Give him thanks, give him praise. Way above every other name, my Father, I bless you. We give you thanks over the situation. That situation that looks insurmountable. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. Thank you, my God.
You sent your word and you healed our disease.
I don't know whatever you have been waiting on to God for. By the reason of this habitation of praise, God is turning it around right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. We are grateful to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
Amen.
Before we share the grace, please note what makes our praise meaningful to God and our thanksgiving is the experience of salvation. If you are not saved, if you are not saved, your praise and thanksgiving holds no value to God. And that is why I want to give us the opportunity. You want to give your life to Jesus wherever you are right now. Lift up your voice, lift up your hands and say, Lord, I rededicate my life to you. Or you may not have been walking in praise all these years. You may have been complaining and murmuring. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, I rededicate my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I work out my salvation with you now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. It is done. Your change of story is here. As you leave this place, those doors that look like they have been stopping you, God is throwing them open for you in the mighty name of Jesus. As you return next Friday, you are returning with your testimony as a result of praise in the name of Jesus. By the hand of the Lord, that's your expectation. As you turn to praise, God will turn it to a miracle for you. Our God will turn it to a miracle for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will testify. I say you will testify. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Praise God. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Put those blessings together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.